What have we got here? You judge spy, little man.
Me? A spy? This guy is funny. No. I live here. I mean, I'm gonna live here. If I live. Maybe I should go to a hotel.
No way, man! Don't you hear him out there? It's block war, man.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
I'm Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, baby.
What are we doing today?
Talking trash.
Talking trash, indeed. This is our show to review. I'm so off. Did I even start right? I don't even know. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks of the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review film unless you know what the worst is. And in honor of National Superhero Day on April 28th, we are doing a month of low-rated comic book films. And today we are talking about a movie with the tagline, One Man is the law. We are talking about 1995's Judge Dredd. It has a 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Wait, you have to do this whole segment in Stallone's voice.
Like that?
Yeah, you have to do it. Even, at least a little bit for me.
One man is the law. The law. I like doing that better. Where was I? Oh, it has a 5.6 on 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb from 128,000 reviewers.
Wow, 5.6?
Yeah, 5.6.
That is not bad.
It was directed by Danny Cannon, the director of I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, and was the producer and writer of the DC comic book shows back to back, by the way. This is so weird. Pennyworth, Gotham, and Gotham Knights. Very strange. I mean, he just started doing that, I guess, for a living. He was not allowed on set during reshoots. He vowed to never work with actors like Stallone ever again. And he never did.
Why?
Oh, there's a lot of that. Do you want more of that?
I want to know why he doesn't want to work with Stallone anymore.
I'm going to get to it. Okay, I'm going to get to it. This was written by three guys, including former president of New Line Cinema, Michael De Luca. Who wrote In the Mouth of Madness and Freddy's Dead.
Oh. Okay.
It also was written by Stephen E. De La Souza.
De La Souza?
I think it's De Souza.
Oh, De Souza.
De Souza?
You're just making shit up now.
He co-wrote Die Hard, Commando, The Running Man, and Street Fighter.
Oh, dang. Okay. Three of those are good.
Yeah?
I mean, we like Street Fighter, don't we? Because of JCVD.
I guess that's true. It was also written by William Wisher, who co-wrote Terminator 2 and is a lifelong friend of James Cameron. His draft for the screenplay was darker. The director hired the previous two to rewrite this film, making it into what we have. And it made Wisher leave the project. Stallone has stated that he demanded more comedy to be added to this movie, ruining Wisher's entire script.
Oh.
And also pissing off the director, who wanted to follow Wisher's script, but it kept getting more and more diluted as Stallone was demanding more reshoots and more things, which made him get locked off the set during reshoots and vowed to never work with him again.
Wow, okay. I mean, I get it. I mean, maybe it was those pants that Stallone was wearing. They were probably squeezing the life out of him and all sensibility.
They went to his head?
Yeah.
I guess he thought he was the law, Joe.
Here's the law.
I don't know about that. I think that sounded like you were eating and talking.
I am the law. I felt like I have shit in my mouth.
What a trip. This... Oh. The cinematographer on this movie is Adrian Biddle, whose first feature film was Aliens.
Oh, rad.
Yeah.
Okay.
The music was composed by Alan Silvestri, who is the composer of the Avenger films, Predator, and Back to the Future movies.
Oh, dang. Good.
It cost $90 million, Joe, and grossed only 113 worldwide.
Oh.
Yeah, only 34 of that was made here in America and Canada.
Oh. Well, at least it made its money back. I mean, it did.
Worldwide. I mean,
90 million, then it made over 100.
Well, also assume when it's an estimated 90 million, which is what this film probably definitely cost, you have to also add in another 30 to half the budget for advertising.
Oh, yeah, for marketing and all that stuff.
Always think marketing costs half the budget.
Yeah, I'm sure most of that money went to Stallone himself.
Yeah.
And the special effects of the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Judge Dredd himself was created by John Wagner and Carlos Izquierda in 1977 for the magazine comic 2000 AD. And then this movie was finally, after all this time, remade in 2012 as a new reimagining of the film.
Now someone with Carl Urban.
Well, Carl Urban, who actually took the source material so seriously that he refused to have his character take off his helmet, which the character in the comics famously never did. In fact, the one time that he did take off his helmet in the comic books, they put a censor bar over it.
Oh.
Yes. It's a very big part of the character's lore.
Wow.
And so Carl Urban took that very seriously when he filmed the movie.
You know, I think I remember being disappointed when I was watching Dread, when I was like, well, is Carl Urban going to show his handsome face at all? And he never did.
And that was he took it seriously. And I have to give him all the appreciation because Stallone had never heard of this character ever and didn't care at all about any of the source material. The creators of the comic book basically were never even asked to be a part of this film. They were very heavily involved with Carl Urban, I think, and his movie, and they were very excited about that one, but they completely dismissed this film.
Hmm.
So here we are.
Okay.
We are talking about Judge Dredd from 95, and this is the first time you've ever seen it, right?
Yes, this is the first time I've ever seen it, although okay. I know, obviously, you know, his whole one-liners and stuff, like, because it's very popular, the one-liners.
Yeah, I think that the most famous thing from this movie is probably, I am the law! Yeah.
I am the law.
Which co-actor...
It sound like I have, like, a major, like, constipation issue.
When you're doing it, it is, like, just like you have a mouthful of food.
I know, I don't know how to do Stallone.
You have to do the lip. Always think about going with the lip. It helps out a lot. But I would say that it's really funny that the thing that's very famous is him going, I am the law! But what's really the standout here is the co-actor, the villain of this film,
Armando Santi.
His delivery after he says it in one particular scene is, to me, funnier than everything
because
else.
Because I feel like he's mocking him.
Yes, he is. But yeah. It's almost like he was like, oh, Stallone, you think you can cheesy one-liner, you know, and go overboard with all your dialogue? Well, I got you. I'm going to go 10 times on it, and I'm going to ham the shit out of this movie. Mm-hmm. And he does,
yeah.
And I think it's kind of great.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so my experience with this film is I saw this in the theater.
Oh, wow.
And I had never seen it again. So in 95, it's been a long time I haven't seen this movie. And I remembered only a few things from this movie. I remembered some questionable effects, some cool effects, and I remember Rob Schneider.
He's a carrot.
Almost everything else I forgot.
Well, I got to tell you something. These characters are like, I mean, he's definitely the staple comic relief goof in this.
Yeah. You want to hear a fun fact about this one?
Yes.
They wanted Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci?
So they approached Joe Pesci and Joe Pesci said, no. I'm not doing that movie. Can you imagine the movies he was making at the time? He didn't need to make this movie.
No, in 1990, he made Goodfellas.
Exactly.
He was not...
Mm-mm. He is not necessary. What was he doing? When was My Cousin Vinny?
92, I think.
Okay. Yeah, and around this time, he might have been making some clunkers, I think, around this time. He made this one movie with Christian Slater that I think I'm the only one that's ever seen it.
Oh, yeah, 92. I was right.
92. Yeah. Nice.
I know My Cousin
Vinny. He made a couple. And he made a movie that no one ever saw that I think is actually pretty decent called The Public Eye. I don't know. Around this time, he might have been making some, and they were approaching him to make more movies, like, in the comedy avenue. Like The Super and stuff was, I think, coming out around this time.
With like 8 heads in a duffel bag. Is that
back then? You know what? You're right. I think that's probably around
but
this
he's
time.
He's still playing the same type, like a gangster, you know? But like, Armand Asante also has played a gangster a lot too.
That's true.
So,
well, they approached him and he said no. So Sylvester Stallone himself called Rob Schneider and said, I want you to do this part.
How does he know him?
I think that he was just, like, I guess he was very popular on SNL at the time.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he was doing the, you know, the copy guy and all that kind of stuff. And I think that he was making a name for himself. And so he was like, you know what would be funny? Let's get somebody who's the complete opposite of me and a smaller guy, which I think he was purposely going for. But I can't help but watch this movie and wonder how Joe Pesci would have worked.
I don't know. I think they would have clashed. Like, personality-wise,
absolutely
offset. Like, yeah. I don't think that they would have, I don't know. I don't see that working.
What a weird combo that would have been, and how extremely different the movie would have been. You'd need a guy like Rob Schneider, unfortunately, to do this role.
Because he can do goofy pretty well, you know? So yeah. I was a fan of him in this movie.
Rob Schneider is in this movie clearly just to speak for the audience.
Yes.
And I think he does that really well. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say really well. There's a famous moment in this movie where he mocks Sylvester Stallone by going like that. And that was him joking around and they left it in the movie. And Sylvester Stallone thought it was funny. He said, do more of that.
Yeah. Well, it's good that Stallone had a sense of humor because, like, you know, you've seen all his movies like Rambo and all his rough movies, Expendables. He's a tough dude. Like, you would think that he wouldn't have any sense of humor. So I'm glad they kind of gave him a little bit.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I think what's interesting is that when they wrote the script, they were following the actual comic book. And he wanted to make, like, a dark movie and thought, hey, Stallone is perfect. But then he didn't realize that Stallone would come in and go, I don't know anything about it, but I think that this needs a lot of humor. And so they kept rewriting it and making it more and more, like, removing the tone that the comic book follows of, you know, what if our society really went into this kind of futuristic thing? And how, if the law was literally judged on the street by the cops.
Judge, jury, and executioner.
Yes.
I'll tell you, though, it would save a lot of time. I told you, I mentioned to you, I'm like, oh, that should have been my job. But that's awesome.
But again, if you look at our society right now, that's happening anyways, and it's not working out very well.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So here's the movie that I would say if we're getting into the movie and what happens in this plot, the first thing we have to point out is that this feels like it has multiple openings, right? I think it starts off with some stuff and then it starts out again with a narration and title crawl.
That was James Earl Jones, was it not?
Yes, multiple uncredited cameos in this movie. For some reason, half the people in this movie did not get credited. They're not in the credits at all. One of them being James Earl Jones, who narrates, but we never meet him in the movie, so his narration feels bizarre.
Yeah, but you can't miss that voice. I mean,
exactly. It's Darth Vader just starts narrating a long text crawl.
Yeah, it's a long text crawl.
A long one.
Basically, it is... pretty much the earth is fucked. Like,
the world's gone to shit.
There's like very little food. They have to recycle their food.
Crime is so rampant that they put everywhere. It in the hands of the cops.
It's disturbing. Yeah. It's a fucked up world.
Yeah. So bad that in the opening shot here, right after this text crawl, is that we see a guy just standing in the desert. So we think that we're somewhere else. But what we find out is it's New York.
It's New York.
So I'm guessing the water has dried up.
Can I ask you what year this is supposed to take place in? Do they ever say? Because I know buildings in New York City, okay? I I've been to New York. However, these buildings are so futuristic and out of control, like ridiculous. They look like paintings.
I'm wondering
in the
if,
backdrop.
I guess this isn't New York. I don't know where we are supposed to be because...
But the Statue of Liberty is there.
They mention how they moved the Statue of Liberty at one point in this movie. They're like, oh, they moved it right on top of headquarters.
Oh, okay. So maybe... okay.
What I think is really strange in this opening is that we don't start the movie with our title character. We started off with Rob Schneider.
We do. He's getting paroled from jail.
Yes, as some kind of... for us to like follow along, he is our vocal point, like, you know, our point of view in this movie. And since we start with him, what I think is really funny is he's from here. But when he's flying in from wherever he was held in jail, he acts like everything he's seeing is for the first time.
Well, he was incarcerated for what? A couple of years?
Even if he was in jail for 5 years, which is, I believe, what they said, because he has committed some kind of cyber crimes.
Well, he's a hacker. Yeah, he hacks ATMs and takes the money.
Yes. Yeah. So when he flies in, he's looking at everything like it's the first time. They drop him off in a war zone. And they're actually calling this the Block War.
You know, when he gets dropped off by the taxi.
Right on the corner of Costello and Abbott. Abbott and Costello Avenue.
Right in the corner.
And he wanders into an apartment building, which I don't know what the hell is going on
here.
Well,
no, he's supposed to be there. He's assigned to this building. That is where he was given his residence.
Yes.
Now, I don't know why he obviously goes into the room where he's supposed to be, you know, settled. That's where he's going to live. But it has been taken over by punks, led by James Remar.
Who is also uncredited in this movie, yeah. James Remar.
Well, because he comes and goes so quickly.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation. You know, an accidental thing has happened in this month. We've been doing comic book movies, and every single one of these movies, except for one, which was HK, every one of these movies has had a Mortal Kombat Annihilation actor in it. How crazy
wow.
is that?
Wow. You know, I think you did this shit to me on purpose.
I didn't even think about it, but James Remar played Raiden in that.
Oh, my.
In the Nick Fury movie, we had the actress playing Sonya. And in last week's Vampirella movie, we had Katana. So we're hitting the... So next week, if I don't have a person from Mortal Kombat Annihilation, I'm going to be very upset.
No, we're not doing it. Cutting you off. I'm on to you.
I hope Brian Thompson shows up in next week's movie.
You know what? I think Brian Thompson is a really good villain. I like him.
Put a clip in here now.
Shao Kahn, Emperor of Outworld.
The Earth was created in 6 days. So too shall it be destroyed. And on the seventh day, mankind will rest in peace.
Not in Annihilation, though.
No, my God.
It was so embarrassing. So bad. Oh, my God.
So... Yeah, he has dropped off at Abbott Costello in Hell's... It's called Heaven's Gate. That's where he's staying. And it's at... Block wars are happening. James Remar is, for some reason, hanging out of a window. Now, I don't know if this is a joke, you know, because famously, James Remar was fired from Aliens and replaced with Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
And he's holding what looks like the assault rifles from Aliens.
Okay, I was going to say, it kind of does look like the pulse rifle.
Yeah, the pulse rifle.
But,
thank you.
I wasn't sure.
He's holding them like completely wrong, but it's making me laugh because they look exactly like them.
Yeah.
So, for some reason, Rob Schneider's held hostage as they are on their block wars is happening.
Block war.
Hershey and Briscoe in position inside Heavenly Haven. We're under fire from the upper floors. Request backup. Help me and
And then the judges show up. And the first two judges to appear are one random rookie and Diane Lane.
She plays Hershey. First of all, she's
yeah,
so
well, Judge
pretty.
Hershey, or yeah. as this movie likes to call her, Judge Bitch.
Judge Bitch.
Judge Bitch.
That's an actual line of dialogue in this film. They show up, and of course, they are judges. Now, judges are supposed to be the baddest motherfuckers on the planet.
Yep.
Right? They're like everything. But they need instant help. They call for backup almost instantaneously.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm going to say, just because feel like I should step in for poor Diane Lane, she's training a rookie. And so, you know, she's out there with the least qualified judge to help along. So she feels like she needs backup. And I get it, because, I mean, in the opening of this movie, all you see is, like, people shooting at each other and beating each other and just a huge, like, a free-for-all. And I'm sorry, but I don't care how many guns you have. That's scary if you're there by yourself or with a rookie.
Some people might call it a block war.
Don't you hear them out there? It's block war, man.
Block war.
Riots and block wars.
However quickly these block wars can be contained, it's clear that they're becoming an epidemic.
Yeah, block war. Yeah.
Stupid. I'm going to throw a block war on my block. I'm going to get some of these neighbors.
Oh, man.
Block war. Fucking I'm going to scream out block war and see what happens.
Yeah. The neighbor next door with the freaking dog and the bird.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to let that bird go. I'm going to go and sneak back there and let that bird go.
The cavalry does come. And when I say cavalry, I just mean one man shows up on a motorcycle, and it is Judge Dredd.
He is the cavalry.
Yes, he even says it. Yes.
He says the cavalry is here.
Now,
backup is here.
He stands in the middle of the street where anybody can shoot him. And again, we have to watch him get off his motorcycle in what is like hero porn. Like, they film his leg, they film his foot come down, they scroll up his body, he stands there, and he screams out with his lip, la! You know, like, you know,
wait, no, he
throw your guns out.
He says, the law is here, yeah. The law, the law.
Stop getting closer every time we do it.
La, la. I can't say it.
Holy crud, he's a sitting duck out there.
He knows what he's doing.
The law! Drop your weapon! These blocks are under arrest! This is your final warning!
I just love your face while you're doing it.
Adrian!
You're like...
Adrian! I am the law.
Oh my god.
I can't fucking do it. He's a special breed of human.
They
love him.
He stands in full open territory. And they even say it. He's just standing in the open. Nobody's shooting him.
No.
He should have been killed immediately.
It's like a block war. You know, no one cares about shooting them. Obviously, if you shoot at a judge, you automatically get taken out. I mean, they don't fuck around.
Yeah, and that's what exactly happens, because they finally go, oh, we can shoot at them. And then he finally does, after he calls, throw your weapons down so you can be judged. So that's when he goes inside the building. They're shooting at them. And we find out that his gun is the coolest gun on the earth. It basically is an Alexa who can take any command.
This gun is amazing. Like, he has different prompts for it, and it does different things. It's so rad.
It's a handgun that somehow contains every bullet you can think of. Explosive rounds, flare rounds, multi-bullets. Like, there's so much going on in this gun in this movie, and you think it's all going to be very relevant. It isn't really. There's one plot point, and then it just goes, move on.
They just want you to know that the gun is badass.
Yeah, and so we got to see an entire sequence of him just killing people with this gun. And, of course, the rookie is murdered.
First day out. Yeah, so now you see why Diane Lane needed some backup. But, so...
Well, I mean, to be fair, he just kicks in the door and stands in the doorway.
Right. I mean, there's like at least 6 or 7 guys in there, including Rob Schneider. So here's the thing about this, though. I don't understand. Why are those goons holding Rob Schneider there? Like, what is the reason?
They're saying that he's a part of it. They're holding him there like he's a team member.
Like, all I have to say really is I just got released from prison. I was, you know, scheduled to live in this building.
He keeps trying to get out of it as much as he can, to the point where he says, what if I go out in the street and surrender, and in this way he'll give you guys time to get out of here.
He was willing to send himself back to prison just to get out of the situation.
Well, after Stallone has killed everybody in the name of the law, he is in the hallway. He finds Rob Schneider hiding in a storage, like a there's some kind of robot that goes around telling everybody to eat recycled food. And what I love, this is actually a joke I actually like. The recycle machine says, eat recycled food. It's good for the environment.
Eat recycled food. It's not good for you.
Yeah, and basically that's what it's saying. It's good for the environment, and it's edible for you or something like that. It's saying virtually, this is bad for you.
Yeah. Recycled food.
And I also
I mean, it's like somebody pooping and then just like making it, you know.
Yes. And what I love about it is it's brought to you by Coors, apparently, because there's a giant Coors sign on
it. Well, they needed a sponsor.
Yeah. Rob Schneider's hiding inside of it. Somehow he got inside the storage unit, hacked it, and is talking through it while covered in lo mein. I don't know what's going on inside there. But Sylvester Stallone, or the Judge Dredd, he sees right through it. And he removes him from it and says that he hacked it, and he hasn't even been out of jail for 24 hours, and he's already committed another crime. But, you know, Rob Schneider's character is like Ferdy, by the way. Ferdy's like, I actually didn't do anything. I was trying to escape, and there was a war zone, and I didn't know what else to do. And I love this line of dialogue. Judge Dredd says, well, you could have jumped out the window. And he's like, we're four stories up.
Yeah, I would have died instantly. Like, yeah, he's like, I would have freaking died.
And
like,
then he goes, well, at least that's legal. That's crazy. So they give him another 5 years or something like that.
Yeah, he gets another 5 years. Now, mind you, he hasn't been out of jail for 24 hours. Yeah. No, he literally has been out of jail for 25 minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
Even he says that. You're wrongfully accusing me. And which Judge Dredd says, there is no, the law is always correct.
Right. Which is the pretty theme of this movie. Funny for like foreshadowing to see what's going to happen here.
So we find out that there is a council. There's a council who runs the, basically, it seems like the government.
It's a judge council. They call them that. Judge
the
council.
The judges. Yeah. Yeah. They're the police, but it seems almost like they're more government.
Seems like that, yeah. And they're led by Max von Sydow, which I was like, when I saw his name on the credits, I was like, oh, Lord. Yeah. Why you got to drag poor Max into this?
Yeah, exactly. Now... I guess that you can really clearly tell one of the council guys is a bad guy.
You automatically know there's something wrong. Basically, here. Just wears it on his t-shirt and says, I am a bad guy. Dominic, a bad guy. Like, because every single time Max von Sydow says something that he wants to do to improve the streets and improve, you know, justice, this asshole is there to contradict him and tell him, no, I want to enact this protocol where petty crimes. We'll just get murdered. Petty criminals will get murdered. So if there's like a little petty shoplifting or something like that, they're just going to kill them. That's his whole idea of justice, this guy. Now, anybody would think like anyone would get thrown off the council if you had ideas like that, because you literally want to commit murder because someone stole a bag of chips. Like this, that's what this guy's like ideals are. He wants to kill in like, you know, not innocent, but you know, just petty thieves, you know? And Max von Sydow should have known right from there that there's something wrong with this guy.
I mean, I understand. I mean, it's crazy. But the guy's justification is like, we don't have enough food in the world. We're overpopulated. And there's 20 million people living in this one spot down in the bottom.
Yes, but it's essentially Skid Row.
The whole place is Skid Row. And when we see the whole world, like the world, it's very hard to tell where they are because... It's a big CG city, and it's enormous, but this movie only seems to take place in the 2-block radius. It does. It doesn't feel like they're in an actual world.
No.
Everything feels like there's a dome, although we just saw a desert, and there is a desert around them, so it's very hard to tell what's happening.
Yeah, it seems like the walls of this facility are literally... just the whole entire city, but the walls don't go high enough. Do you notice that the walls of the, like, I guess the judge like community or whatever,
it's the whole city is walled.
It seems like the walls aren't high enough.
But why is it even walled? Or what are they trying to keep out and in?
I don't know, but if this is like, you know, New York City, then it has turned into a desert wasteland out there.
I'm thinking they maybe New York is underground, like underwater, and so they moved inland, but I can't figure out where this could be.
I have no idea if
the water dried up and this is some kind of Mad Max scenario.
In the third millennium, the world changed. Climate, nations, all were in upheaval. The earth transformed into a poisonous, scorched desert known as the Cursed Earth. Millions of people crowded into a few megacities where roving bands of street savages created violence the justice system could not control.
My question is, you only put a wall in to keep people in, but if there's that much people problem, let them out.
Right. That's a perfect situation.
Yeah. If they want to go out into the desert, which we find out there are people living out in the desert,
yeah.
Why not allow them, like...
Well,
get
here's
out
the
of
thing.
Here.
They don't want to go out in the desert because you see people that end up out there.
Yeah, but then that would help the problem.
That's true.
I'm so just saying, like, just, that's their own thing.
Locking up the criminals and, you know, wasting resources on the criminals, just send them outside and let them roam freely.
Yeah, that's what I would think. But yes, this guy's a villain. You tell, like you said, if there's one line of dialogue, you're like, oh, he's a bad guy. Well, we find out that Max von Sydow's like prize pupil is Dredd, and he calls Dredd to him and basically says he wants him. And this is where Dredd takes off his helmet and shows his eyes. He's got these blue contact lenses in Stallone.
Yeah, I like it. It looks good.
And so I guess Stallone, I got to give him credit. He looks very emotional in this movie. Every
he
time
does.
He shows his face.
Yeah.
But he's also, we have to talk about his stance. Like, he's doing a bizarre stance that I could not unsee once I started looking at it too much.
I couldn't stop pointing it out.
He's
got like a turtle head poking.
It's like he's posing. Clenching. Like, he's always posing. And it is so odd. Even when the scene doesn't call for it, like, he should just be looking at something normally. Like, for the first time, he's seeing this crazy science experiment. And you think that he's, you know, drop his guard a little bit. No. Even in the background, he's posing. He's thrusting his entire body outward. After a while, this must have hurt his neck. I feel like it would have
hurt his lower back, because it seemed like he was trying to like really arch his back and just stick, you know, stick everything, his chest out. And
yeah,
it just seemed like it hurt.
It does.
But he's very muscly.
He looks great. He's in spandex in this movie, and they did try to give him the actual armor from the comic books, which the other Dredd movie didn't do. They tried to go more practical with the armor, but kept the helmets. Here, they went for the huge shoulder pads and all that, which you would think to yourself, why is that necessary? But it is from a comic book where they definitely go out of their way to make satchels and things that no one would need on their body.
It did look very comic booky.
Yeah. And it did. And they did that pretty well. I think if they were going to follow that, they did that kind of cool.
I think it looked cool.
It's fun. It looks, I wonder how heavy it was. I want to find information out about that, because it's giant gold plated like shoulder pads.
Now, was Diane Lane wearing that?
Yes. At one point she is.
Hers had to have been lighter, I would think.
They look like they had no weight to them. At all.
But she doesn't have the shoulder girth that he does.
True.
You know, she's just a little thing, but I feel like those were heavy. You know, it looked like they were using those football shoulder things.
Without a doubt, they were using something like that.
Yeah, probably and then they added put, stuff.
Yeah. He's called there. Now, basically, he's called to train cadets at their school for judges to become a judge. And so he goes there. And one of the cadets happens to be Balthazar Getty.
Why is Balthazar Getty in this?
Yeah. Like, did I say his name wrong?
Balthazar Getty.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Okay, sure. I'm going to say no, but let's go with
it. Oh, whatever. Well, why is he in this? Because at this time, he had already done movies that would... Didn't he do Lost Highway? Or is that older?
That might actually have been after this. I would say that he might have appeared in Young Guns 2 already.
Yeah, he was a little kid in Young Guns too.
Yeah.
He was little.
And yeah, he's one of those actors that shows up in things. I think that Lost Highway had to be after this.
Oh.
I think. But anyways, he's one of the guards that the judges that are set up. And they're training. And I guess one of the jokes that we're find out is that the motorcycles that fly sometimes don't work.
Yeah.
That's a thing, I guess.
It's short circuit.
But what we do see is that the one council member that is a bad guy is secretly, he knows that he has to do something like to get this, the thing that he wants to happen. So he's setting up something. So that's when we meet, we go to this prison and we meet our villain. And I guess this is one of the weirdest things ever. This guy, I guess it's the warden. He goes into this maximum security wing that has, it's over like a pit.
It looks like Magneto. Like when Magneto is in
there's
the
like
prison.
A little bridge. It has a force field around it.
Yeah.
He's just in the middle of this room in a force field. And then there's turrets all around that are only, they shoot you unless they know your voice. And so the warden's voice is, they recognize it. But of course the warden's an idiot and he drops the force field to give him, I guess they're both working for somebody. And so the warden gives him something. And when he opens it up, it's a judge badge. It's actually Dredd's.
It says Dredd.
Dredd's cop badge. His. And there is a gun that folds out of it, which allows him to shoot the warden in the throat so the gun turrets don't hear him. Now, my question is, why don't they shoot him?
Right. I don't get it.
They don't know his voice. He's not supposed to be out of his cell.
Right. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
So the two guards come in and
he easily dispatches them.
He easily takes them down. But I was asking you, I'm like, how the hell did he get out of the situation? Because this is a maximum security prison. Like, he just, you know, sashayed out. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But it turns out he pretended he was dead and they put him in a body bag. At what point did he do that?
It looked like he put on the people's gear that he killed to think that he was a dead body.
And then
he rips off the dog tags.
Yeah. Yeah. And he threw one overboard
off
the ledge. So yeah, there was one that had a uniform still. All right. So he gets out and then we see him go to this like pawn shop. I feel really bad for this guy in this scene. So he goes in and he says, "You have a package for me." So the guy takes him to the back and gives him a box. And inside is a gun. And he says, "No, don't touch that gun because it's exclusive to the judges. It'll kill you. It'll
take a fingerprint of a certain judge."
Yeah. So don't touch that gun. And so he grabs
the DNA, I think it is.
Or the DNA. So he grabs the gun and he shoots him with it. And obviously, we know at that moment that he had been a judge at one point, right?
Yes.
Or associated with a judge.
Yes. And he sees a giant robot that's like out of commission that they say was used in the last war.
It's a pretty cool robot.
So this is actually pretty damn cool.
This
had like three people operating it in all the scenes.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty intense. I think it's like hydraulics they're using to lift it.
It's pretty rad.
I was staring at it a few times because you could see through it.
Yeah.
That I was like, that is pretty impressive.
It's awesome.
I'm wondering how they're doing this.
And its eyes were red. And I think the robot looked really cool.
It's actually not bad. Unfortunately, it's not used in a way that it doesn't really fulfill the idea of the robot being in the movie. It shows up and does some things, but it's not very necessary or plot. There's no real plot to it. It's just there in the background a lot. So at least it's cool looking, though.
It is very cool.
So he sets that thing up and he talks to it and tells it that he can instantly set this thing up to follow only his commands.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "You're my bodyguard and we're going to go to war. That's it. And this thing's like, cool, I'm in. And which I love. It's like the pawn shop guy could have done that and made him the guard of the store.
I know. Obviously, this guy's just trying to earn a living. He doesn't know anything about robotics or anything.
Because he said something about, you can have one, but you can't use it or turn it on. It has to be decommissioned. Mm-hmm. But all he has to do is plug like two wires together and it comes to life.
Right.
And then, now, I don't know if you thought about this at all in the movie. How does he get around with this robot?
Oh, he's just walking through the city casually.
I wanted to see a scene where he was just in a trench coat, that big robot. Like, no one would
like
notice.
Like Raphael in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle
The Thing in the Fantastic Four. Just being like in a trench coat and a hat, and no one will notice the difference.
Oh, my God.
I kept thinking, because there's multiple scenes where he's in a room with it.
Yeah.
And I love that, I think right after the scene, the villain and the robot go to the council member's house, and they're inside the house, and he goes, "I told you I'm going to meet somewhere private." I was like, dude, a robot got in your house. Yeah. Like, how?
How
would anybody know? Like, because it's not on the first floor. Mm-hmm. It's up in the air. All the buildings are like the Jetsons of this movie. Everybody who is like poor and like criminals live in the slums on the bottom.
Right.
Which like what I gotta say, I'm thinking that's what's happening on the Jetsons as well. Because we never see the bottom.
Well,
only in the episode where they cross over with the Flintstones.
In space.
Well, they're on these stilts that actually rise them above the weather in the Jetsons.
Yes, but aren't they in, they're still in space.
No, they're not. They're on a planet. They have stilts. Really? And there's weather. When there's storms, they rise up.
Oh, it's been a minute since I've watched the Jetsons, but...
Eek, ork, ah.
Okay,
thank you. It means I love you, Joe.
Oh.
So,
eek, let me... Eek, ork,
I think that, yeah. I think they show in one episode, they meet the Flintstones and they go to a park. So I'm wondering if that's the only time I can think of that they show the bottom.
How are they meeting the Flintstones? The fucking Flintstones are freaking Stone Age. There was a time travel episode
where they wandered in through some kind of portal and they meet each other.
I can imagine Fred Flintstone having a massive coronary, seeing this futuristic silliness.
Yeah, I don't really remember what happens.
If he sees Rosie the Maid, they would all freak out. They'd lose their minds.
Yeah. I got to rewatch that because I don't really recall. I just remember the Jetsons going to the past. I don't know if the Flintstones ever come to the future.
I mean, how would that be possible? You'd have to have that technology back in the Stone Age. You don't have it.
They have some kind of portal.
They don't even have shoes. They don't have shoes.
Who doesn't have shoes?
The Flintstones.
I know, and they run their cars on gravel with their feet.
How are their feet not cut up? And also, their freaking pets are dinosaurs. I don't...
And so are the washing machines and their dryers and their dishwashers.
Yes, that's true.
So that's... Talk about labor that needed to fight back.
But they have dishes. They have forks and knives. And
I like when they throw them out. Instead of washing them, they shatter them. Because they're all rock. Okay, anyways, let's get back on the movie. So the slums are like at the bottom here. And this guy, it lives up in the clouds. And you think a robot just walked in. He would have to come through the front door.
So this is the guy, I don't know what his name is, but he's the guy that we said immediately that he's gonna, we knew he's gonna be a bad guy because he just wanted to kill all the petty thieves for no reason.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, this guy is a bad guy. And they go and obviously he's the one that sent him, that sent Armand Asante the badge and the gun to get out because they have this big plan.
Mm-hmm. He wants him to create chaos. Yes. His plan is very sketchy and bizarre. It's because he wants to get a program going where they can make super soldiers. And I guess that ties into the plot here. Because there is a... he is sent to actually... He has a photo of a journalist that is going on the news a lot and talking bad about how the judges kill people and sentence them unwarranted. And that... Judge Dredd in particular has murdered tons of people recently in this block war. And so he goes on the news and he is the photo that's given. So he actually shows up at that guy's house, the villain.
Armand Asante.
Yeah. His name is Rico.
Rico.
Rico shows up at the house dressed as Dredd and he assassinates both the journalist and his wife. Mm-hmm. And it's all caught on camera. When he goes to show up at the council, guy's like, I did what you wanted. I killed that guy. And he goes, well, what do you want next? He's like, I want you to create all out war. We're going to take over and I'm going to be the head of the council. So I guess this starts a whole chain reaction. That chain reaction makes it look like Dredd is the criminal. So he gets put on trial and this trial ends up, I guess the reason that Judge Dredd is sentenced to life in prison is because there is DNA evidence that the gun was fired with his DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something he uses Diane Lane as his counsel. And they basically think he might have done it. So they sentence him to life. And the only reason he's not put to death is that Max von Sydow says, I will go on the long walk and step down from the council if you give me this one thing. So they give him Sylvester Stallone for life, and then he is sent out on a walkabout into the desert to die.
I mean, here's the thing.
It's bizarre.
But I don't understand why it's unlivable out there. I mean, I do know that, you know, most of the people live in the city, but like we don't really get any like why is it unlivable out there? I mean, it's not like Fallout. There's like no radiation.
We don't know.
Right?
Don't really know.
I don't know. Maybe there is radiation because later on we meet characters that are disfigured.
There's a lot of disfigured mutants and basically cybernetic people. There's a lot of stuff going on here. This is where it becomes virtually like Escape from LA or Escape from New York, where everybody's kind of like bizarre. And at the same time that he goes on this walkabout, wouldn't you know it, Judge Dredd is put onto a ship right next to
Rob Schneider.
And they're going to prison together. And as they're debating how both of them, the law has failed both of them and making Judge Dredd go, maybe you're right. They're shot down conveniently by a family full of cannibalistic rednecks.
Yeah, led by Scott Wilson.
Wilson.
From The Walking Dead. He plays Herschel.
Yeah, and he's uncredited in this movie as well for some reason, although he has tons of lines.
Yeah.
He's Angel or something. It turns out that they shoot down these planes and you think they're going to use the parts. No, they want to eat the people inside. But they blow this ship up and kill tons of people.
Yes, but then they take Dredd and Rob Schneider hostage.
Of course.
Right? And Rob Schneider doesn't notice that there's a human being on a spit.
No, he doesn't know. He doesn't smell human.
You don't smell human flesh?
Because he actually turns against Dredd and he's like, I'm going to get out of here. And he's like, I think you really failed at getting out of here because they're cannibals and they're going to eat you.
Dredd's like, they're going to fucking eat you, man.
Yeah.
Where do you think you're going? It's like he's better off hanging there and dying a slow death than get eaten.
But before they can kill them, Dredd is able to escape and fight. And then it just so happened that on the walkabout, Max von Sydow has got here. He is already at this base and he is helping them kill these rednecks. But as he does that, every redneck is killed.
Through.
One of the rednecks is like a mechanized guy and he kills him instantly.
They're like
somehow
all
he got
mutated.
Behind him on a staircase.
Yeah, they're mutated. Baffling. One's missing an arm. Like their face is all messed up. So I feel like there is some sort of, if it's not like inbreeding or weird something going on, it's radiation. So I'm sure it's not safe out there. That's probably why the walkabout's happening.
And there's no food in the desert, so they're eating people.
They're eating people. Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I get it. I don't know if how Max von Sydow knew to come here. Maybe he saw the plane crash. But at the same time, the guards are also looking for them.
True.
So they also fight like other judges.
Are they judges?
That's very confusing as well. They look like space cops.
Yeah, they're like space cops. They don't have the tight ass pants and the sexiness going on like the judges do.
I have a thought or a theory about this, and I think that in the movie, it's very bizarre because Judge Dredd wouldn't kill his own. These are just people who misunderstand that they think he's a criminal. So
right.
So when he kills them a lot, it is baffling. Like, well, he is killing his own cops that are actually good guys.
Yeah, but then he's not, though. It's got to be some other...
That's why I'm saying that they made them look like stormtroopers instead, so it would make it feel less like he was killing his own.
Right, yeah.
Because the movie, it does have that moment where it feels like you hit a wall. Because you can't have him kill other cops, because that would be against his character.
Right. But he doesn't do that. So,
but he does in the whole movie. So they just make them look like other people, which is so weird. And every time it happens, I keep going. There's a point in this movie that like this many judges are dead. And I go, well, tack on 13 more because Dredd just killed a shitload of them. Like, it is so weird. And they, Max von Sydow dies, he virtually tells the truth to Dredd and says, hey, by the way, we created a cloning thing, and you are a part of my and the council's DNA to make the perfect soldiers, and there were two clone children. It was you and Rico. You guys were actually brothers.
Yeah.
And it turns out the only reason Rico was in jail in the first place is that Dredd and him grew up as friends, and he finally broke the law, and Dredd had to judge him. By the way, now, they're both clones.
Right.
And they gave him the name Joseph Dredd. They couldn't call him Pete Samsonite or something like that. It's like, Why would you call? That's, and I was hoping they would tell us Rico's last name. I don't know if they did. I don't remember.
They didn't.
But it would be great if it was like the opposite of Dredd. It was like Hope, like Rico Hope and Judge Dredd and like Joseph
that's
Dredd.
That's not a good villain name.
But that's the thing, because Dredd isn't the guy who went bad. He was the good one.
Right.
Like,
I know.
How weird.
It's crazy. It just sounds badass, though. You know, that's why.
I think even Rob Schneider, when he sees it, he goes, wait a minute. He goes, Judge, oh my God, Dredd? Oh, like, like, you know, I'm going to die. Like, your name is Dredd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just screams out badass.
It screams out serial killer. Like, that's crazy. That's a Grim Reaper.
You know, he has those pretty blue contacts in, so.
I guess, but you can't see them when he's on a judge mask.
True.
The helmet, I mean. But so when Max von Sydow dies, he says, hey, man, yeah, the whole thing was all, we all lied to you the whole time. And Dredd's, and he's like, I always thought of you as a son. And Dredd's like, don't die.
Don't die.
Don't die.
Don't
and then he goes, blurp, and dies instantly when he says that. And what I love is, too, this is in the ruins of some kind of court. The cannibals are living in some kind of old courthouse because it is covered in sand. And I'm guessing the whole planet, like I said, somehow got a sandstorm or some sort of storm happened that made the whole thing covered in sand, because the Halls of Justice, the actual blind, you know, woman of justice, is in this redneck's cannibalistic place.
Yeah.
And he looks up at it and he, this is what justice used to look like.
I love how he's just staring at it, like, opposing. Longingly.
Yeah. And then he cocks his shotgun. We're going to war.
So he's going back to the city with Rob Schneider in tow, and they have to go in order to get back into the city, which there's just no door just to walk in, obviously. They have to go through this fire tunnel that, like, goes off every minute, and you have to run to beat the fire. This is the most slapsticky, stupid thing I've ever seen.
It reminded me of in Galaxy Quest, when for no reason they're like, how do we get to the engine core? Oh, you have to go through this crazy thing that they, it's basically like pistons that just keep crushing.
Yes.
And they're like, what do they do? I don't know. It was in the show, so we just made it.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no function to it. What is the function of these incinerators?
Nothing.
Whoa. Great time I'm having. The shuttle crash, the cursed earth, cannibals, and now a fireball up my ass.
Like, what? Why are they there? Why would they be pointing outside?
There's multiples of them. And so they have to run through. And of course, Rob Schneider falls down.
Yeah.
And they can outrun the fucking fire, by the way.
They can outrun it. Like, fire doesn't work. And for some, this is the weirdest thing about this. The fire is coming out of the outside near the desert. And they have to go in through that. Now, first off, the whole thing would be boiling. Right?
Yeah.
Like, when Rob Schneider falls on the floor, he's on iron grates.
Yeah. How is he not, like, burning up? Like, that's so hot, it would create a fire on his clothing.
Exactly. But what my question is even weirder, why has the fire now come from the back?
That's true.
It should be coming from the front of them.
Right. It should be coming from right in front of them, but it comes from behind them for whatever reason.
And the only way they escape this is that Dredd has a shotgun, so he shoots the floor and it perfectly opens a hatch for them to fall in trash.
Perfect.
And then we never see how they got out of this.
Nope.
They just instantly out of this.
Yep.
In fact, they're instantly in the headquarters of the judges without any problems happening.
But we learn that the judges are, like, so Dominic Bad Guy and Armand Asante are in cahoots, and they start killing all the judges by, like, blowing them up, rigging their motorcycles, and, like, 106 of them get killed, which is crazy.
Yeah, a ton of them do. And we find out that the main plot here is that they're going to make clones now. And they're going to make clones. You can make clones in basically 8 hours.
Oh, yeah. You just hit the button for ludicrous speed.
Exactly.
And it'll speed up the process of the cloning. And they'll be a little underdeveloped, you know, like a runny egg. But they'll still be functioning. So that was the plan, to do that.
And of course, there is a head scientist who just happens to be ready for all of this, because this is a defunct program. It's actually the actress that played, Joni, I think, on Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right name. I know it's close. She's from Twin Peaks. She's just here for no reason
Movie.
And in fact, I do think there was something cut out of this movie because at one point in the movie, she's like, I don't want to be part of this. And then the next part of the movie, she's like, I'm full on board and I have a shotgun. I'm about to shoot judges.
Yeah, she's drinking champagne with him.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what's this happened?
There was a scene of some kind of sexual thing. There had to be because she's like on board with him.
She's 100% on board with him. And then you notice that her outfit, like her breasts were popping out of the top at one point.
Yeah, so all of a sudden she looks like the villain from Superman 2.
Yeah.
She all of a sudden is just like, I'm a bad guy now and I'm on board with everything you want to do.
And like, what's the incentive for her? Like, what does she have to gain out of this?
I don't know. In fact, the villain, Rico, he's going to make clones of himself. And he actually turns on the other council guy, having the robot rip him in half. Now, unfortunately, we don't get to see it.
You know, I was very disappointed in this. I feel like you could have just gone one notch above because I was enjoying myself this whole time. I would have really liked to have seen an arm being pulled off.
Yeah, we get that idea that he's ripping him in shreds. And I would love that they're watching this and even the scientist is like, okay. Yeah, I'm okay with this.
She doesn't even like look away like, ew.
Yeah, she's like, oh, shit.
She's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you know what? Kind of like it. So he has changed the DNA to himself. So he's going to create an army of himself now.
Yep. And the reasoning is why?
I don't know, because he's crazy. In fact, the actor wants us to know he's so crazy that he actually smashes a statue head for no reason and just goes, I'm crazy.
Yeah, he does.
And just knocks it over. Look how crazy
I am. Just to show you how crazy he is.
Yeah, he's like, is this a prop I'm not supposed to break? You can tell the director didn't know he was going to do that because the camera moves real quick to get it in shot.
Yeah, that's true.
So he did that spontaneously. If I had to guess, I don't know for sure. But he, the main council guy's dead. This leaves Dredd to, again, they shoot the rest of the council and they frame Dredd again for it. So they just keep going after Dredd. And the only way they escape is to get on one of those broken motorcycles and fly it like a pod race scene that looks 90s green screen.
Oh, beyond. Oh, so terrible.
And what I love about this, there's multiple things here that just, first off, he's killing all the judges that don't look like judges for some reason. But he's killing them all. And then there is this weird part that I can't stop thinking about where there's a sign. I guess it's some kind of like a billboard, but it's an electric billboard that it's like it's making a hologram.
Right.
But for some odd reason in this movie, that hologram is solid.
It acts as though it's a barrier to like stop people from coming in, like a traffic barrier.
But it said like eat at Joe's or something, right?
Yeah. Eat at Joe's.
Right? So one of the guys naturally crashes into it and dies. And now I kept thinking to myself, this technology exists and you guys built a wall?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Why wouldn't you just put this around the area?
Yeah, why wouldn't you just build a barrier around area? And like certain areas too, like Skid Row, you can put a barrier around like the slums and keep the criminals inside instead of having
all this chaos. Oh, you want to do a Batman, Arkham, world.
Yeah, it's like Escape from New York. It is.
Arkham City. Where you just like knock out the walls and just say, hey, all the criminals just stay in here.
Yeah, just stay in here and ruin all this town for yourself. Just ruin everything. Just destroy it.
I couldn't stop thinking of Demolition Man, which I think is a better version of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with this? Because I kept thinking the slums, again, is ruled by Dennis Leary. And it's like the same type of premise. You have your guy who broke out of jail and fights. I think they made the same movie twice.
I guess I can see that.
Yeah. Instead of Diane Lane, we have Sandra Bullock. Mm-hmm. Instead of Wesley Snipes, we have Armand Lasande.
Yeah.
All right. And then, yeah. Right. And there's also cloning. There's freeing other criminals from the ice instead of making clones.
Yeah. Yeah, is Demolition Man a comic book?
No.
No.
But okay. I feel like they took the same script and just went, hey, yeah, shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of similarities, especially the cute girls. They each have a cute girl. Sandra Bullock was cute back then.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're all wearing spandex and the jackets and they're cops.
True.
It's like the same damn thing.
It is the same thing.
I can't stop thinking about it. So, I don't know. I just had to bring that up real quick. But, yeah, there are no slum good guy. And I don't think in Demolition Man there is a comic relief sidekick. Oh, but Rob Schneider's in that.
He Damn, is?
He's in both.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to use the seashells, remember?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
I still don't get the seashells, but whatever.
I don't think anyone does. I always think it's a scraping device, but I'm not really sure.
That's disgusting.
Does it shoot water? I don't even know. Anyways, let's not talk about a more interesting movie. Let's go back to Judge Dredd.
Hey, watch it.
So in Dredd, so they escape in the motorcycles. They go to Diane Lane's house. She comes up with a plan, a 4 minutes a plan, and they basically... we didn't bring this up, but the other judge, which was Balthazar Getty, he's a hacker. So he goes, hey, he has a photograph. I want you to scan this and see who these people are. But he scans the wrong picture, which happens to be his baby photo with his parents.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, but I scanned it. But here's the funny part about it. It's not real. And he goes, the only thing in this picture that's real is the baby. And now the some reason the whole photograph melts away and it's like a hidden photograph in his photograph?
Yeah.
If this is the wrong picture, why is it fake?
What?
Look, it's full of anomalies, really clever ones too. Somebody must have used a CGI terminal and a scan quad to make this. It's state of the art. 20 years ago.
Are you saying this isn't real?
Yeah. Look, I'll drop out all the artificial pixels. Dad. Mom. Foreground. Background. All fake. The only thing that's real is the baby.
It's so funny.
Wow. I'm like, that's some next level stupid leaving breadcrumbs behind. Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, why would you ever make it so he can find out the truth about himself?
Yeah. It's like, well, I'm glad he didn't put this through a computer ever.
He's just a clone. He doesn't really have parents.
They gave him a photo of his actual baby photo. But yeah. He looks like he's in the Fly device that you go into the Fly.
Yeah.
He looks like he's inside that thing, but the parents were just superimposed over it.
It's true. By the way, was that Frank Stallone in that picture? I think it was.
I didn't realize that, but Frank Stallone. During this movie, I kept thinking, Amar Dasan, he should have been Frank Stallone. Because you kept saying they made them look the same. I'm like, no, they didn't.
They kind of did a little bit. Okay, first of all, they have black hair. They both have the dark eyebrows. They both have the same facial structure a little bit, like the chiseled facial structure. The overacting, I think that they both had a little bit similarities there.
I guess.
I could see if you're calling them brothers.
And I also thought that was funny that there was supposed to be some kind of, DNA of Max von Sydow. So I was like, If they're supposed to be him, they don't look anything like him either.
That's true. It doesn't make any sense. But
I mean, last the whole movie, I'm like, man, wouldn't it have been cooler if they just got Frank Stallone?
They should have just used Frank Stallone. It makes no sense. I mean, I don't get it.
That should have happened. I would have loved that. So make them look a little different.
Yeah.
Oh my God. If you remove they put a fake nose on him. If I digitally enhance it, it turns out the nose falls off. It's the same person. Yeah, so she figured this all out, and she basically sends him. They're like, oh my God, I know where they are. They're in the Statue of Liberty because they moved it.
Yep.
And so they go, we got to go to the Statue of Liberty to stop the bad guys. So they go to stop the bad guys in the Statue of Liberty, which they happen to be at. And they have to fight the robot, which riddles Rob Schneider with bullets, and Rob Schneider is shot with a Gatling gun and survives.
He's still cracking jokes the whole time.
Yeah, he's cracking jokes, and I love that he, at the end of the movie, they act like he died because they don't reference him at all, and then all of a sudden they just keep cutting back to him on a stretcher.
Yeah, and he's still making jokes on the stretcher.
He's still making jokes.
Okay, he's been bled out. Okay, all of the right side internal organs are blasted. He should be dead.
He should be dead. And Dredd doesn't even act like he exists. Like, he just forgot that saved his life. He does save his life because they're about to get killed by a giant robot. Yep. And then Rob Schneider's on its back and he's just hot wiring it, which was smart.
Yeah.
But it leaves the two women to fight. And it leaves our villain and our hero to fight, and they have a big fight. But before they have a fight, they have a conversation about why they shouldn't fight.
You could never control yourself. What makes you think you can control these things?
Because you're in control. You be head of the council. You choose. And you choose quickly, too.
I should have put you down myself. Personally.
You know, I never understood that. Why did you judge me? Why did you judge me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law.
Law! I betrayed this. Your council's experiment, which failed.
Because they're brothers.
They're brothers and the law.
And the law.
And that gives us one of the best acted
did
scenes.
Did I do it better? And the law.
It's getting better. I like that you keep doing the sideways for.
I mean, if I was on video right now, I would definitely probably be thrown into some kind of facility because I don't look right.
He's like, I just love that sequence. But they do fight, and of course, when we get the whole woman fight, the whole man fight, the whole thing. And Diane Lane is, in this movie, is the MVP because she saves Stallone multiple times in every scene.
Three
She's
times
always
to
helping.
Be exact.
Exact.
Yeah.
She keeps telling you.
Three
by
times.
The way, you owe me again.
Third time.
Which means, by the way, if you're a woman in a movie and there's a hero lead, you're going to fall in love.
Well,
just so you know, it has to happen.
We don't know that she's in love with him.
She's in love with him because at the end of this movie, she gives him a nice big smooch.
Gives him a kiss.
She puts his helmet on, gives him a smooch.
That doesn't mean she's in love with him. She could just like him a lot.
She feels bad because she saw his baby photo, his depressing laboratory baby photo.
Oh, well, I mean, here's the thing, though. Armand Asante gets thrown off the Statue of Liberty and falls to his death in a very comical way.
He does.
And that was cool.
And I love this because this is one of the rare movies that you were cheering during the entire movie.
Okay, well, you leave me alone, sir, because I had a good time.
I know you did. You are really enjoying this one.
I couldn't help it. It was fun.
This is a weird movie. Like, yeah, the villain, he beats the villain. We already know where we're going with that. He beats the villain by throwing him out of Statue of Liberty.
It's very bare bones.
When they go outside to the front, they think, oh, all the judges are here. And there's only like 50 judges for entire, what looks like cities. Looks so big,
yeah,
the city.
These are the ones that were probably out on patrol and weren't, you know, in the facilities. But they did rig most of the bikes with explosives. Armand Asante, killed so many. How'd these guys survive?
These are the lucky ones?
I guess so. But they deemed him worthy to not only stay out of prison, but even worthier to become the judge councilman.
And we don't even know why, because there is no evidence right now that he didn't do anything.
Right. He just looks like a vigilante.
He does. And they're all like, you know what? We believe you now.
Right.
Because there's no one else to believe. And we have no council, no law, no government.
Yeah.
What should we do? You should be our leader, Dredd. And he's like, nah, I'm going to go on patrol. And that's literally what he does.
That's it. That's the end of it.
He drives off to a cliff and just stares out at the city. And that's the end of the movie. We literally left lawless.
Yeah. But you know,
I thought he was going to say Diane Lane should be the hero. The
I was going to say that. Like, Diane Lane should definitely be on the council.
Yes.
She definitely saved the day a lot in this movie. But
She's the only wise one.
She's the only wise one, but I don't understand. Like, how did they come to this conclusion that he's not a bad guy? Why? Because nothing happened to alert them to this situation. Like, they didn't have any proof. Max von Sydow's dead. Rob Schneider was involved in all of this, but he's nearly dead, you know, with a gunshot wound. So he didn't have time to tell them.
He seems like an escaped criminal, too. And Dredd doesn't say, by the way, that guy's with me. Nothing like that. They just act like he died off screen, and then they go, oh, we maybe should put something in that he didn't die. So they just have clips of his face saying things.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like it's in the scene at all.
No.
But you think that there would be a moment where Dredd would be like, take care of that guy, you know, that's my guy or whatever. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the whole time, all you do to fix these terrible plot holes, all you have to do is one simple thing. Rob Schneider is a hacker. Have it so he hacked a robot, and everything that's happening, he sees it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like being broadcast on the city.
Yeah.
So we see that Dredd is cleared. His name is being cleared.
That would be perfect.
Am I under arrest?
That won't be necessary.
Central broadcast the Janus plan after Griffin's death. They all know the truth.
But here's the thing. Earlier in the movie, the news reporter has been reporting that people don't like Dredd or trust him anyways because people get murdered by him and he's not a good person. And that's a running theme in this movie, that he's kind of like soulless.
Mm-hmm.
So the public is still out there and they all still don't like him.
Right.
And now they don't know that he's not a criminal. It should make everybody even more like going nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's how you fix the movie, though, is to show the public that, no, he's saving them, and maybe show that there's a conversation
right. Where
he's saying, no, the people, you know, anything about sticking up for the people.
They traded, like, good plot points and good, like, plot explanation for silly action scenes that kind of came off a little dopey.
It feels very Lucas in that sense, where it's like, oh, here's a pod race scene for no reason.
So, like, how I would fix this movie is, like, I would definitely make it rated R, first of all.
Yeah, is it not rated R? Because there's a lot of violence in this movie.
I thought it was PG-13. Am I wrong?
Wow. God, PG-13.
I could be wrong.
You know what
No, it's rated R.
It had to be. Okay. But why would they show full gore?
But here's the thing. Yeah, why wouldn't you show the gore? Because, and also I feel like there should be some kind of like ultimate badassery where it's like diabolical villain, you know, like he didn't seem very diabolical, Armand Asante.
Well, he does kill a lot of people.
But yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, he has his lackey do it. You know, it's not like he's a savage person that's like literally just savagely killing people. He does
multiple times. The pawn shop guy, the council guy he was working for, he rips him in half, has him ripped in half.
Well, his robot does.
But I mean, this is all him.
I mean, I guess, but like, I feel like we needed more savagery from the villain. He seemed like just like a butter knife kind of villain, you know? He didn't seem tough enough to go against Stallone, in my opinion. You know, I feel like they needed to make him tougher. And like, I do like the Diane Lane character. I feel like we don't really have a lot on her. Like, for instance, her apartment was completely trashed up.
And we don't know why.
We don't know what happened there. They kind of just skipped over it. She was a little bit battered. She had scratches. I think they're looking for her.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of plot holes in this. So I would kind of tightly wrap up those plot holes. Tell us a little more also about what's really out there in the world, because we don't know why the desert is so treacherous and awful. I want to know more about that.
In the third millennium, the world changed. Climate, nations, all were in upheaval. The Earth transformed into a poisonous, scorched desert known as the Cursed Earth. Millions of people crowded into a few megacities where roving bands of street savages created violence the justice system could not control. Law as we know it collapsed.
I would say if I had to add to what you're saying, I think a way to fix this is get rid of Rob Schneider's character and put Diane Lane's character in his spot so they have a debate.
Yes.
Which I think the rebooted version of this movie, it's not of this movie, of the comics, that movie does it well where it's just Dredd and it's his sidekick is the other cop, the trainee, which right. makes more sense. And right. the plot is a little tighter. There's no need for convoluted plot lines, which I feel like a lot of these movies have a big problem with. They think we have to go convoluted. We have to go big. We have to go bombastic. Like we can't do something simple, where the Carl Urban Dredd is so simple, although it might be ripping off the raid a little bit. It's very simple and it makes sense for that character in that world that you're just watching him on a mission.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that better than, there's a twist and there's everybody's turning in each other and there's a plot above a plot. Every time you do that, you're making more complicated story that doesn't get, you know, explained well. So you feel like you're confused all the time. Like, why is this happening? But I know this is a movie that's so dumb that you're supposed to be shut off and just go, it's kind of fun.
You know, there are times when, during the movie I was watching it, I was like, you know, I'm having fun with this. I'm trying not to overanalyze it, but as a person who does overanalyze movies a lot, there's a lot that needed to be fixed. And I, for one of the things that I definitely would fix also, I agree with you, is to take Rob Schneider out. We don't always need a comic relief.
We don't need a comic relief. And that's a big problem with a lot of these action hero movies, where we always have a guy and another guy that we don't need that's a comedian.
Right.
And sometimes that does work. And sometimes it kind of messes the plot up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Rob Schneider does bring a little bit of stupid fun to this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think overall the movie could have been more interesting without needing the comic relief and going more with the action plot, maybe develop the love story better instead.
Mm-hmm.
And develop Diane Lane, like the debate, because there's a debate in this movie where Diane Lane's constantly asking him, well, you have to be human. Don't you have friends? Don't you have family? Don't you have anything in your life besides the law? And that's the constant debate, that the law is the only thing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, there should be more to it.
Yeah.
And I think that was an interesting thing. And it kind of to explore the actual plot of the movie, which is like, what if the world was like this, where the cops were in charge of everything?
Right.
Like, how messed up would it be? What does that mean? Is it wrong? Is it, why would it be right? Why would it be wrong? I think that debate would have been more of an interesting thing. And I'm wondering if, and I wish I could read it, I wish it was somewhere online, Wisher's original script that was darker and more to the plot.
I feel like it should have been darker.
I bet his version of it was all the things that we're saying.
Yeah, I feel like it could have been darker. You know, I don't appreciate the comic relief all the time. And in fact, I'm actually getting sick of it. I wanted it to be darker, where like it's gore-filled and obscenity-riddled. And, you know, like, I just feel like I wanted a pure badass, like a Stallone badass movie. But I get it. I mean, back in the 90s, comic book movies weren't like that, I guess.
That's a thing, too. And I was going to say, that's a thing we're noticing here, is that in the 90s, people just not understanding how to make a comic book movie. I think they all have to assume when you make a comic book anything, it has to be colorful and wacky and out of control. And it needs to be something more. And I think that a lot of these movies constantly hit that weird wall where you're like, just because it's a comic book movie doesn't mean it needs to be Adam West Batman.
True. And this is kind of giving off that, some of those vibes. But then you have a movie like Blade from 98, and that movie was just straight up badass.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do have a little bit of comic relief, but you also have a badass villain, where like Steven Dorff is like a little bit of the comic relief, because he can, you know, he makes jokes and he is funny to an extent, but he's also scary as hell. And Blade understood the assignment.
Well, that 98 is when it finally, someone went, oh, we could do something else.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what year Dick Tracy came out, but I feel like Warren Beatty understood the assignment a little better there too. Because what I love is the world is colorful and unique and strange, and mm-hmm. he did it, but he's also telling a movie that's actually like fun, and it's embracing all of that. It's embracing mob and action movies while it's also doing a comic book.
Yeah, that was
retelling
90.
Of Dick Tracy. And I'm mm-hmm. like, he nailed it too. But I do think that Blade is the first movie that ever went, no, we can make an actually cool movie without having to act like it's a cheesy comic movie. We could take itself seriously.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it does, that movie. And it's crazy. And I think after that, we got X-Men and we got Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So you know that, like, okay, that was the gateway to finally getting where we are now.
They're learning. Yeah. They were learning.
I was wondering whatever other action movies that came out in 95 to even say what was going on at this time. But Mortal Kombat came out in 95.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting. Heat, Desperado, Die Hard with a Vengeance. By the way, another thing I read on the script was, after Wisher left the project and was furious with how he was treated and how his script was treated, they said, go rewrite Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh.
So he is like a ghostwriter on a lot of all these movies. And he wrote these guys were like all writing behind the scenes and were uncredited. So a lot of the passes that he probably did on Die Hard with a Vengeance are the fun things that stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Crimson Tides, Rumble in the Bronx. A lot of movies came out. Bad Boys. So a lot of movies came out this year that like kind of get action a little better.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bad Boys is pretty awesome, the first one.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So what do you give this movie overall?
Okay. So I think that this movie was okay. I think it was mediocre. I had some fun watching it, and it wasn't a moment where I was like, oh, God, I want this to end. Please, God. You know, like some of the movies we watched in the past where I was like, oh, God, please, Lord, just give me this time back in my life. It wasn't like that. I had a good time with this. I'm giving it a 5.
Do you actually say that a lot when you watch these movies? Go, oh, give me my time back. Because well, we do this every
week. We watched this movie, Norman. I wish that I could get that time back.
Which one?
The Norman one, where he's driving for 3 days, that one.
Oh, geez. Still bringing up the
there's some the appointment. I'll tell you. Or whatever. Yeah. Is it Norman? His name is Norman in the movie. Whatever. I think. Who the hell knows? I never want to ever see that movie again. But like, I can't get the time back from Showgirls. I can't get the time back. I just can't get that time back.
Okay.
So this movie, I did not feel like that. I had a good time watching it. I did.
So here's the thing. Now, when I first saw this movie, I remember not liking it, but I was one of those people who would go run to see any Stallone movie in the theater.
Love him.
I in the 90s was a time where I fell in love with movies a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was watching a lot of classics and older movies. And I think I've many times on this podcast said the 90s were the ones where the movies I would run to see the theater. I started loving going to the theater. But the problem was the 90s had some trash.
Oh, trash, yeah.
And for every Jurassic Park, there's like 50 terrible films that I watched.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw them all in the theater. And it was a time where people didn't know how to go with the movies and stuff like that. So I think a lot of movies kind of just got washed out of my brain a lot. Like, I know I saw them in the theater, but I did go see Stallone movies. And I remember around this time, he did a bunch of movies that I did not care for that left my brain. And this and like Daylight, a couple of those kinds of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And even Cliffhanger was another one. And I got to tell you, I remember not liking this movie. Now, I don't know if it's Chuck Norris that did this to me, but after watching a whole month of Chuck Norris movies last month, I'm appreciating Stallone a lot more than I remember I did. I do like Stallone movies a lot more in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this movie was more fun than I remember it being. I actually think it's not terrible.
It's not.
It is the remake, or whatever we want to call that, a reboot or whatever, a reimagining of the comic book. That movie's excellent.
Yeah, like the 2012.
I hold that high.
Urban Dread.
That's a really cool comic book film in general. This isn't close to that. But this is also not terrible. This is a easy, fun watch. It's cheesy, it's stupid, but you could go much worse. I'm gonna go mediocre 5 as well.
Oh, okay.
But I do feel like it would be a close 6.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terrible.
It's not. It was a fun ride. I had a good time.
It could have been so much worse.
Yeah.
And I remember it being worse, but I think Chuck Norris really is making me appreciate other things better.
I didn't say, man, the last movie we did of Chuck's, that was good. Great. Eye for an eye. That was a good one.
We enjoyed that one.
Yep. It would have been a 10 out of 10 if he had that beard. But he didn't have the beard.
A 10 out of 10? It would have been maybe a 7. No, kidding. A 6.5.
No, I'm kidding. No, he would not have been a 10 out of 10. But I did. That was so far my favorite Chuck movie, that one. Yes.
Ever?
So far.
Well, we don't forget that he was in Enter the Dragon or something.
I'm not counting that as a Chuck movie.
Okay. He's in it.
He has to be the main star.
And the Expendables
star.
And stuff, yeah.
But he shows up in the Expendables. He's not Stallone in the Expendables, you know?
We've been told, my friend told me, now that you did all the Chuck movies and I listened to them all, now you have to do his other movie, Lone Wolf McQuade. And I was like, all right. But I don't know when I'm ever going to get to that.
No, you know what? We're taking
a huge break, yeah, from
yes,
him.
A sabbatical. Yeah.
We're moving on to other
yes,
things.
Yes, we are. We are moving on. I've done my time on Chuck. Okay, so you want me to do my segment?
Yeah,
okay,
sure. What do you got?
This is my segment called Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I read out two extremes of internet reviews, a 1 1-star and a 1 10-star review as proof that people ruin the rating system and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be someone that ruins the rating system for the rest of us. I have chosen 2 very funny ones today.
Okay.
I like these reviews, but I also don't like these reviews.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to tell you the person's name after I read the review, just because it's funnier that way. This is a 10 out of 10. Judge Dredd comic fans whiners. Okay. I'm going to read it just like it's written.
I just remembered something. That already reminding me about something we need to talk about, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to read it just like it's written here. So... Wah! He took his helmet off and it's not like the comic and whined some more. Tell me just one film where it kept to the comic. None. So pee and poop in your diaper, Judge Dredd comic fans. Movies are supposed to be different than the comic, since you have to attract all consumers. This was the best film possible. The best movie props were made for this film. And Dredd does not look like a circus sideshow freak. The Angel Gang was a lot more realistic in today's society. So wear your diapers, Judge Dredd comic fans, and sperm in your Dredd comics. You missed out on one of the best films ever. And yes, Dredd comic fans, Hershey and Dredd were in love even in the comic. You need to look between the lines and know the signs. They were in love. That's a 10 out of 10. This guy's...
It sounds like he was sperming in his comics.
It sounds like he is sperming in...
What?
But... This person's name is Imperial Intelligence.
Oh, God.
I thought you might want to know that. And they gave it a 10. And also, Imperial Intelligence, I just want to say that you spelled judge wrong because it's not J-U-G-E. There's actually a D in there. So, Judge Dredd. Might want to go rethink that Imperial Intelligence line there.
I will give this guy one thing. He reminded me about 2 things I forgot to bring up. One, that the... multiple openings in this movie that I was joking around about. One of them was a montage of the comic book covers and the comic book issues. And I kept going, don't ever show your people what could be cooler before the movie starts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a thing. And I've seen other movies do it. It's like, don't do that. You're reminding us that of cooler things that we wish we were watching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think Tank Girl did that too. And we're like, how dare you show us cool things like this?
Yeah,
like this isn't in this movie.
That movie did that too.
And the second thing is that in this movie, there is a talking computer, the Supreme Intelligence type computer. And Adrienne Barbeau, she was also uncredited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, this next one is a 1 out of 10. It's I like this review. It's funny. I hate this movie so much. It depresses me. And that's the tagline there.
I thought that was it.
No. I normally take time to explain in detail why a film is good or bad, but given how depressing, appalling, stupid, and annoying this mountain of garbage is, I'm just going to simply nail it down to the core. This movie is absolutely horrible. There isn't a single actor in this film that does a good performance. Sylvester Stallone in particular is cold and emotionless, albeit unconvincingly. Rob Schneider is one of the most annoying and undeserving little punks I've seen in any film. So much so that why anybody would want to have him in their movie is beyond my understanding. Money, perhaps? He ain't worth much these days. Stop hiring him, Hollywood. Filmgoers don't like him anymore. The villain is laughably unconvincing and has a confusing plan. The action is not fun and full of terrible cliches. The story is trying to be smart, but I have no idea what the point is. The comedy is cheap and most of it shows Rob Schneider obnoxiously screaming and him or Judge Dredd making stupid jokes. The story is full of cliches. I haven't read the source material, so I am strictly judging this as a movie. Although from what I hear, the film isn't very faithful to it. Bottom line, do not see this film if you value great movies. This is anything but. I pity the poor souls who made this. Although Stallone has made enough Rocky movies to warrant my forgiveness. FYI, I haven't seen all of Stallone's failures. I also feel sad to see Max von Sydow here. He tries, bless his soul, but is just overwhelmed by all the ridiculousness. I can't say the same for anyone else, though. Court's adjourned. For someone who hates something that bad, it's, you know, he goes on a long time.
I can't stop thinking about the things that he said. So he was like, oh, he's cold and emotionless,
mm-hmm,
in a not convincing way.
Yeah.
Well, first off, he was supposed to be cold and emotionless because that was his character.
Mm-hmm.
He was a thinking, just obsessed with law cop.
Yeah.
That's his entire character. And I wouldn't say that he's emotionless because when he starts finding out things, he's like, I have my own brother. You made me judge my own brother. that's crazy. And then, unfortunately, Rob Schneider is here as comic relief, and he is here as the everyday man. So, yes, when he's walking through an incinerator, he's going to scream.
Yeah.
I think any human being would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's weird to judge on these kinds of things. Like, I think these two reviewers need to talk. They need to have a conversation because that first reviewer basically saying to this other reviewer, stop crying, you little baby. About how bad this is.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, it's humorous. I that first guy, though, wow.
Yeah.
A 10 out of 10, and it's like the whole review is like, hey, comic book fans suck.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it was a little harsh. I'm just saying.
That's crazy.
A little harsh.
Oh, man. I love these reviews. I love reviewers like this. How dare you have an opinion that you think this was decent? I watch some YouTubers, and I always see this same kind of conversation. It's kind of like this toxic conversation about like, you like something? How dare you? You suck. This thing sucks. It's like, I do agree there's problems, but mm-hmm. let's talk about it rationally.
Right.
You know, we can talk about there's problems and see if there's anything that is, good about it. And to say that a movie, it's dumbing down society, and so thus it's got to be the worst movie ever made. It's like, come on, man.
I mean,
come
really?
On,
there's
man.
So many movies that have dumbed down society, but are pretty well made.
Yeah, the people worked on it. You're telling me that everybody who was involved didn't do anything interesting? That's bullcrap. Right. That's why I named the cinematographer in this and the composer of the music.
Yeah.
Because these are talented people. That sometimes the project doesn't come together, right? Because there is way too many chefs in the kitchen. You know
right.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of bizarre to have that kind of thought process. And that's why we do the show in the first place, right? We really want to get down to what makes a good movie, what makes a bad movie, and try to fairly judge it and say, hey, look, of all the movies we've seen, what is really the worst thing? Like, what is bad? And especially since right now, this movie's not going on our list because we kind of agree it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. We watched the Star Wars holiday special, for God's sakes. I mean,
that's exactly what I was saying.
Get
yeah.
worse than that.
We ask in the beginning of the show, we say, is this the worst movie ever made? We say, definitely not here. But when we go, what is? Right now, when you watch something like the Star Wars holiday special, and you see the behind the scenes that even the people making it were like, we were making garbage just mm-hmm. to get it out to try to make a fast buck for the studio.
Exactly right.
And that is like, even they know.
They know.
Everybody involved was like, we made some garbage.
They're not even trying to sugarcoat it. They're like, yeah, this is trash and we wish we weren't associated with it. But because we were paid and because we have a duty to the studio and to George Lucas, we did it. We did it because it was our duty. That's it.
Yeah.
Period.
So to give, like, to hear someone say this is a one, it's no.
No, not, it's not.
For some of the effects for the time in 95, I know that like things like Jurassic Park were already out. Yes. Jurassic Park is the gold standard in effects at this time period. Without a doubt.
Yes. Yeah.
And so comparing anything to it is tough. I mean, they put so much effort into that movie, just like any movie that is incredible and stands the test of time did. But they did some cool stuff in here.
I think so.
I'm going to give them some credit. I think that robot is pretty neat for a practical effect.
I love that robot.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen the practical gore. I would have liked to have seen that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But
well, we talked about it in things we would fix, you know? Like, I guess it was rated R, but I didn't feel the rated R. I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I want to feel it.
But yeah, yes, I want to feel that. But at the same time, we're like not even close to being a one.
Nope.
No.
And I'm sorry, I'm very entertained by Stallone and his voice. I'm very entertained and I can watch him all day.
It's so funny that the same guy who did this movie is the guy who did Rocky and Rambo.
I can see it.
It just kind of makes me laugh sometimes because I'm like, you ever get that conversation where you go, who's the luckiest actor in Hollywood? And when I watch Stallone, I go, he has to be one of the luckiest guys ever.
Like, I think so too.
He's not like the best actor, but then you see Rocky, Rambo, and like Copland, and you go, he has the chops, man.
He does. He does have the chops. There is something very charismatic about him. He has a very workable face.
Yeah.
That's like very, he's got a lot of good characteristics. He's just a likable actor. And I can watch him all day. Him and Arnold. I can watch them both all day. So, you know, I have that going for me. So I went into this excited because I love watching Stallone movies. I do. So that's what I got for you. And I'm happy I watched this because I actually liked it. So.
All right. That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any parting thoughts on this episode?
Hold on.
I am the law.
Is that better?
I wonder how many times they say it in this movie.
I am the law.
And now all the times Stallone says law.
There ought to be a law against them.
Lawgiver 2. Mark 4, Lawmaster.
The law. Taking law to the lawless. At the academy, she was at the top of her class in interpretational law.
I never broke the law! I am the law!
You received the sentence the law required. The law doesn't make mistakes.
The law can't apologize! You betrayed the law!
14.
I'm tired of trying to move my bottom lip like Stallone. You do it so good.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Whatever. I'll learn. I'll keep practicing. I mean, I can do Cher. I can sing a Cher.
Nice.
But I can't do Stallone.
I like when they hired Milo Ventimiglia. What's his name?
Milo Ventimiglia.
Yes. When they hired him as his son, I was like, best casting I've ever seen.
They have the same
movie.
Lip.
Yeah, when they hired him in the Balboa film.
Yeah, they have the same
or
lip.
Or was it Creed? Or I think it was Creed and Balboa. I'm like, yeah. When I saw him in Heroes, I go, that's got to be Stallone, someone in his family.
Yeah, it's funny. I know.
Perfect casting. All right, though. Yeah, as always, guys, I would love to hear your opinions. Hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. We always love to hear your ideas, your thoughts, any suggestions for the movie, for any movies for us to do on the show. And also tell us what you like about Judge Dredd or why you don't like Judge Dredd. I'd love to hear it. So until next time, I think we're going to do one more comic book movie. We got one more of the month after this.
Aww.
And then we're moving on to a new theme, and we would love to hear themes. If anybody wants us to do any kind of theme, tell us. I'd love to hear it. All right, until next time, have a good one. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Court's adjourned.
Okay, come on, let's go, will you? Can we swing by a cash machine?